Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and a lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths were wrapped about my head. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars is about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now I want to look back down through these verses by the grace of God and see some things today. We know that he preached to Nineveh finally, and Nineveh repented and they got right, and God spared Nineveh for a time. He did ultimately end up destroying Nineveh, but they had repented and got right for several years, 150 years or so, I believe. And I want to look at some things in the book of Jonah by the grace of God, starting in chapter number 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, We see right off the bat, the Word of God. The Word of God. He spoke to Jonah personally. Now, if we're not careful, we'll get the impression, maybe, or assume that out of all the world, Jonah was the only one God ever spoke to in his time. But I don't believe that at all. I believe God was speaking to people. He used this example because he directly spoke to Jonah, just like he directly speaks to you and to me. It was personal with Jonah. God's word came to Jonah personally. He had a relationship with God. He had walked with God, and God had talked with him. We know that from chapter number 2, where he says, "I will pay that that I have vowed." He had already had a relationship with God, and God had a relationship with him, was speaking personally to Jonah. The amazing thing about God and the amazing thing about being saved and having a Bible is that God will speak directly, personally to you. He didn't tell anybody else to go to Nineveh. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh. So as you're trying and desiring to find God's will, ask God to speak to you personally. We know God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We understand that witnessing is part of all of our responsibility as saved folks. It's part of our not only responsibility, it's a blessing to be able to witness about our God and using His word, giving it to a lost and dying world. But I am just very amazed and very thankful that we can have a personal relationship and a personal walk with God Almighty. And when you read the Bible and you start going through the Old Testament and seeing the miracles and the power, the mercy and the grace of God, and the sin of man, the wickedness of man, and how long-suffering God is, that Word of God and that personal relationship becomes more important and more amazing. I mean, if you think about you, I mean, you know more about you than anybody but the God, but God of this Bible and the devil himself. And when you think about you, and I think about me, and I think about the fact that a perfect and a righteous and a holy and a just God would not only save me, but talk to me. We see the Word of God in chapter number 1, verse 1. Then we see the will of God. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." The will of God. His will for Jonah was for Jonah to preach. You know what His will is for you today? To preach. Now, don't get excited, ladies. But I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel to a lost and dying world. I'm talking about handing a tract to the mailman. I'm talking about putting a tract in your bills if you still mail them out, if you don't do it over the internet. I'm talking about being able to tell somebody, "Hey, look, heaven's real and hell's real, and Jesus Christ, He's really paid your sin debt, and all you have to do is call on Him and trust Him." I'm talking about witnessing for a God that is worthy of being witnessed for. The will of God, the Word of God. And then we see the wicked in verse 2. "For their wickedness has come up before me." He's talking about the people of Nineveh. If you've got the Word of God, and we do right here, we have the Word of God, and you've got the will of God, and the will of God is to preach, you've got a full-time job. You know why? Because there's no lack of supply of wickedness in this world. There's no lack. You're not going to find a shortage of people that need preached to. Amen? That's one thing about being a Baptist preacher. I realized real soon that I'm not going to find a shortage of people that need preached to, especially in a Baptist church. Amen?
Amen.
Because if there's anybody more peculiar than a Baptist, I don't know who it is. Amen? But God's people are supposed to be peculiar. Amen. Just not the peculiar the way some of y'all is peculiar. Amen? No, but there's never going to be a shortage of people to preach to. Amen. Isn't that something? The devil has set up job security for you and I. Because there are people all over the place, people that you see, people that you walk past, people that you pump gas next to, amen? They're going to burn in hell if they don't trust Jesus Christ. So we see the Word of God, His Word, come to Jonah specifically, personally, and then we see His will, and His will was to preach because God is in the saving business. He wanted to save Nineveh. And then we see the wicked, knowing that if you have the Word and you understand His will, there's always going to be somebody wicked to preach to. And honestly, I don't mean that like we're better than anybody. I'm just saying wicked people are people without Jesus Christ. that don't have any righteousness, true righteousness, because we have the righteousness of God Himself. He applied that to our account, and we trusted Him. And to be honest with you, everybody in here without salvation is just as wicked as the people outside of here. Amen, amen. The Word of God, the will of God, the wicked, always somebody to preach to, and then we see the Baptist, I mean the wayward. Verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. We have the Word. We have His general will to witness. We have plenty of people to witness to. But most folks are wayward. Honestly. Most folks, most blood-bought, born-again people are wayward. And some folks don't even know it. Some folks aren't doing it intentionally. Some folks haven't, they didn't decide to go to Nineveh, to not go to Nineveh. They didn't decide, they didn't wake up and make a conscious decision to go down into the ship. And you notice it said he went down into the ship, because when you're going out of God's will, you're going down. And then they said he paid the fare thereof, because there's always a price for being out of God's will. He paid the fare to go into the ship away from God's will. And if you're out of God's will today, you're paying a price for it somewhere. Amen? But most people get so busy and so caught up in life that they don't even realize they're not doing God's will. I really believe that. I know there are some folks that get tired of the battle. You ever been tired of the battle? I know there are some folks that get tired of the battle and just quit. But there are other folks that have quit and don't even know they quit. Amen. There are preachers that have quit, don't know they quit. There are churches that have quit that don't know they quit. Because there are individuals that just quit. And there are individuals that get drawn into everything but the will of God. And they're honestly, most people don't look for the will of God anymore. You know what the will of God for you is? For your neighbor to get saved. And for you to tell him how. That's God's will. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, whether or not your neighbor does it is on them if you're doing God's will. You know what God's will for you is while you're at the gas pump? Is to have some tracks on you and hand a track to somebody at the gas pump. Now, you can't witness to the wrong person. I was up in Winchester, Indiana the other day, and a Hispanic guy was there pumping his gas, and the Lord said, give him a track. And all of a sudden, I got one track, and there's tracks in the truck, but I've got one track. I'm at the gas pump, got one left in my pocket, and three people show up, and I'm sitting there looking, now what do I do, Lord? So one goes in the store, and the other one drives off, and then that fellow's still there. So I go up to him and said, hey, let me give you one of these. I said, invite you to church and take you. Anybody talk to you about going about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven? And he goes, yeah, I'm a pastor. But you know what that did? That encouraged me. I hope it encouraged him. And if he's not handing out tracts, I hope it rekindled a fire. You know, God will do that too. Sometimes you hand out tracts, somebody's saved. I had a little girl over in Bowling Green one time, Bowling Green, Ohio, and we were handing out tracts. Joshua and I were there. I was handing out tracts, and she said, I've never seen any of that. I'm saved, but I've never seen any of those things before. Can I have some? Give her a handful of them. I believe the Lord, that might have been His whole plan for me that day. I don't know. But I know one thing, that little girl had tracts in her hand. She'd never had them before. Saved as you and I, but never in God's will. That's something. God Almighty, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. God Almighty would use me. Now, you all think, oh, he's a preacher, he's a pastor, God should be using him. But I'm going to tell you what, I know me. And I've known me for a long while. And that God would use me amazes me. And if it don't amaze you, you need to get to know yourself a little better. Amen. But God's good to us. The Word of God, the will of God, the wicked, the wayward, good night. Don't spend your life wayward. Don't get to the judgment seat of Christ and watch everything just burn up and fade away and be gone and have nothing to lay back at the feet of Jesus, because He is worthy. Amen. And if you don't realize it now, you'll realize it then, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. The wayward. verses 4 through 16. We'll just read 4 for the sake of time. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. All the way down through verse 16, you know what we have? The warning. That storm was a warning. A lot of folks live their life, saved folks, they live their life in a storm because God's warning them. He didn't because he's long-suffering. He could have just shot a lightning bolt down and smoked Jonah. I'll get somebody else to go to Nineveh. He could have done that. He's God. He'd have been right. But he didn't. He gave him a warning. Aren't you glad for warnings? Honestly, this place would be completely empty if it wasn't for warnings. I mean, God's able. But warnings. You know, we read the book of Jonah, we read the book of Job. We understand Jonah put himself in a bad situation. We understand Job just got in a bad situation. Then he had a hard time getting out of it because he was Job, amen. He knew he was a good man. He thought he was a little better than he was.
Yep. Amen.
That's a problem too, amen.
Yep.
Living right's good, but thinking it's all, anything to do with you is not necessarily a good thing. But the warning, he puts him in this storm and he gives him a chance to get right. You know, if Jonah would have got right, we'd have never heard about the whale. He could have got right then.
Yep.
We talked about Saul a little bit in Sunday school. When Saul was disobedient and didn't fully obey God in the battle, God said, wipe everything out. Animals and everything. Don't keep any of that stuff.
Yep.
Saul decided he knew a little bit more than God. And then when Samuel calls him out, he doesn't get right, he lies.
Yeah.
Oh, I did exactly what God says. What is bleeding this sheep on here? What is this? He could have got right then. But he didn't get right. God moved on to David. And then Saul wants to kill David because of something Saul did. And that's most of saved folks' problems. If they get in crossways with somebody else, it's usually your own problem. And you want to ignore your own problem, focus on somebody else's, because we're a mess without the Lord, without walking with him and talking with him. But he had that warning, and he didn't heed that warning. Saul didn't. I'm interested when we get to heaven, if we have to ask questions, we may just know, because we'll be like Christ. But if there's questions, I guarantee you, if there's a question and answer series, this is one of my questions. What would you have done if Adam would have took responsibility in the garden? I'd like to know that. Instead of blaming God. The woman thou gavest to be with me. Amen. I wonder what he would have done. How different would things be? That's a question I have. Another question I have is, how different would things be for the woman if she would have took responsibility? Amen. You know a question you have to ask yourself? If you're out of God's will, how different would it be for you if you took responsibility?
Yeah.
If we took responsibility and we're out of God's will.
Right.
Are you having fun yet?
Yeah.
I mean, this is real. We talked about the spiritual battle this morning. This is a real thing. You will really stand before the Lord one day and your works will be judged. I will stand before the Lord one day and I'll be judged partially for your works. Amen. If I preach the truth to you and you get upset with me and it's the truth, I don't have to worry about it. But if I lie to you, I got a lot to answer for. You're answering for you. If you're married, you're going to answer for your family. If you're a man and a woman, you're going to answer for your kids and how you treated your husband. Amen. But I answer for my wife, my kids, this church. Pray for me. Please don't quit. And pray that we all be able to accept what God gives us. But he gave Jonah this storm because God is a loving and long-suffering God, and he wanted Jonah to have another chance. He didn't need Jonah. He could have used somebody else. He doesn't need us. We need him. But he's good to us. The word of God, the will of God, the wicked, always somebody to preach to. The wayward is always going to be somebody that's out of God's will somewhere. Somebody that's saved and running. Or saved and hanging on to the world instead of hanging on to the Lord. And the warning. And then 17, we'll start there. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. All the way down through here, in chapter 2, we see the whale. Jonah didn't heed the warning, and now he's trapped. I believe there are folks that are saved that are trapped because of their disobedience. You look at some folks and say, how in the world could you be living this life and be saved? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Same thing had happened to Jonah, except they didn't get right. They go through storm after storm after storm after storm, and God being a long-suffering God, he keeps sending storms until finally they're trapped in that belly of the whale. I talked to one the other day, walking down the street. I could tell he was doped up from a block away. See the way he was walking, see the way he was acting. I went over and talked to him. I said, you say you're saved, why are you doing this to yourself? He said, I'm having fun. I said, you believe that? You're wasting your life. Oh, no. You know where he is? He's trapped. Because God warned him and warned him and warned him, and now he's on his own. That's scary. I pled with him. I said, I'll try to get you help any way I can. I almost hate to offer to take him to a program. He's so messed up, he'd probably mess him up the program. It'd be hard for other people that are trying. We just pray for him. I said, what was wrong with your life? Well, what was so bad before you started dope? He said, I was just always getting in trouble. I said, now you're happy? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm living the dream. I said, you fried all your brain cells. You don't know any better now. You need to get saved, get right, or whatever it is. You need to do something. You need to call on the Lord and ask for help. But if he was saved, if he is saved, that's what happened. Could happen to anybody in here. You fool around long enough in the storms and don't get right, that whale's right around the corner. The whale. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thine holy temple. We see the worship. He finally realizes, I am dirt, I have messed up, I am nothing without you, and he starts crying out to God. That's true worship. Little me and big you, God. Help me. Praise your name. You are good. I'm not. You are everything I wish I could be for you. Amen. But look at the wisdom in 8 and 9. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You know what the wisdom was? Realizing he couldn't save himself. If you're here today and you're religious, you'll split hell wide open when you draw your last breath. If you don't trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah realized that he couldn't get himself out of that whale. You know, he's talking about being in hell. He's talking about the earth with bars around him. He's talking about going down to the bottoms. He's talking about all this stuff. He realized there's only one way out, and that's the Lord. That's wisdom. Wisdom. To think that you can work your way to heaven is foolish. It's not wise. Amen. To think, you know, he said comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. To think that you're doing better than somebody else, how could they go? If they can go, I can surely go. Well, they can go because they trusted Christ. You ain't going to make it. Amen. If you're comparing yourself and thinking you're a better person than somebody else, it's foolishness. Amen. But the wisdom of Jonah, even though he got himself in that situation, like all sinners get themselves in that situation, right, he knew that salvation was of the Lord. And he was wise enough to call out to God. Hell's going to be full of fools. It will be. It'll be full of fools that called themselves Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and Catholics and what have you. Say, well, no, it's just Islam. No, it's not. It's people that don't trust Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Hell'll be full of fools that were religious when they had a book with such wisdom in it. What an example. Boy, I messed up. Salvation's of the Lord. All I can do is call on him. That's all he needed to do. The way. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We see the way. You know, you hear this all the time. Where there's a will, there's a way. That's not always true. I've seen people that didn't want to die. You can't will yourself out of a casket. You can't will yourself out of a hospital bed. You can't will yourself saved. But you know what? With God's will, He won't give you a will for you and not give you a way to do it. So where God's will is, there's definitely a way. Man likes to think, man being, oh, we can do it. We can figure it out. If we want it bad enough. And you know what man wants? Man wants to be their own God. They think, if I just want that long enough, want that bad enough, and pretend long enough, it'll be true. And that's why hell will be full of fools. It's foolishness. God always makes a way for His will to be done. He had to wait for Jonah. He knew Jonah was going to reject it, and he had another opportunity for Jonah. Think about that. Another opportunity. I mean, look where Jonah was. He went from the storm to the well. No humanly possible way out. And God put him back on course. That's encouraging, because no matter where you're at today, if you cry out to God from the heart, you want to be in right relationship with Him, and you want to be living a life that glorifies Him, He'll give you the way to do it. Amen. There's no excuse for a saved person to be stuck in the storm or stuck in the belly of the well. If you've got the wisdom to call out to God, you don't have to be. Amen. Verse 17 again of chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord appeared in the... Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. The waste. You know what Jonah had wasted? I don't know how long he was on the ship, but he wasted that time on the ship in the storm. Then he wasted 3 days, three nights in the well's belly. But he got right. That's a waste. He could have died in either one of those for good and been done. What a waste that would have been. Hey, if you're out of God's will today, you need to get that right today. Amen. Amen. Wasted time. Jonah wasted all that time in the storm, wasted that time in the belly of the well. Back in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Wasted opportunity. He says, out of the belly of hell cried I. Look, if you die today and go to hell, you're not getting out. You're not getting out. It's a different situation with Jonah. Why waste the opportunity? Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to be born again. Today's the day to call on Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Luke chapter 16 talks about Lazarus and the rich man. That rich man died and he went to hell. And he was crying out in torment for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water. Still crying today. Revelation 19. Turn here with me if you would. Revelation 19. In Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I'm supposed to be in 20, I apologize. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now look at Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, this is tribulation time, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torments ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Smoke of their torments going up forever. Here's an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, to ensure your spot in heaven. When he calls the church out of here, and this place goes through the tribulation, it will not be so. There will be people beheaded for the cause of Christ. There'll be people crucified. You read the book of Revelation about the horrible things that are going to go on in the tribulation. Why waste the opportunity? Get saved today. If you're not saved, you never trusted Christ your Savior, and God calls this church out of here today, you will go into that tribulation time and you'll go through some things you have never even imagined. And it says right there, those that don't suffer for Christ, those that take the mark of the beast, those that worship the beast, the smoke of their torments go up forever and ever. When you're over in Revelation, he's talking about those beheaded for the cause of Christ. He's talking about those martyrs. He's talking about people that died for Christ and refused to worship the beast. When you have an opportunity today, just trust Christ. Were you talking about the cup of the wrath of God's indignation, that judgment that's poured out on those that are lost, where the smoke of their torments rises forever? That cup of wrath was poured out on Calvary on Jesus Christ so you and I could have eternal life. And if you reject that, you'll drink of that cup of your own volition. It'll be you. It'll be your fault, your fault. It'll be your sin that you're paying for instead of accepting what he's already done. What a waste. In Jonah, we see three things: invocation, inspiration, and an invitation. He invoked, he called Jonah to duty, to service. He called him to preach. He inspired some things. He inspired a man to preach. He inspired the message to be preached, and he inspired a movement to move those people back to righteousness, toward righteousness. And in the invitation, he invited them to salvation. He invited Nineveh to salvation through that message, and they accepted it. What about you? If you're here today and you never trusted Christ, God is calling you to save you, wants to save your soul. Everything's been done on Calvary. When he rose again that third day with victory over death, hell, and the grave, that's it. That's all you need for salvation is trust in Christ. You know what the most important thing is in the story of Jonah? I believe. Say, well, it was Jonah being out of God's will and getting back in God's will. You might think, well, maybe it was Nineveh getting right. That's a big deal. But you know what the most important thing is in Jonah? You can find it in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, The most important thing is always the Word of the Lord. What saith the Scripture? And that Bible says we're all sinners, for all sin that comes short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The most important thing is the Word of God. Why do you think the devil attacks it so much? Why do you think he attacks people that are lost before they get saved? It's a man, Jonah. Sure messed up, but he got right. Praise God he did. Yeah. Nineveh. Entire place saved because they heeded the warning of that message. That's important. But even if they wouldn't have, if Jonah wouldn't have got right, if Nineveh wouldn't have got right, none of that stuff would have happened. The most important thing is always the Word of God. And if you're here today, he's telling you that you're a sinner. And if you're here today, you're either lost or saved, and he's telling you how to get saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're saved, maybe you're not in God's will. You've got the Word. You've got his will. And there's a whole world full of people that need the truth. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Father, we love you and we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for this Bible, for your Word. Your Word, Jesus Christ. Your Word, this book. Your will. And your will doesn't just contain a commandment. It contains an opportunity for us to live a life that's pleasing and glorifying to you. And Lord, we know that there are the wicked, a never-ending supply of people that need truth. Help us to not become wayward. And for anybody in here that is wayward, Lord, that you would deal with their heart to get in your will and to live a life, the life that you have for them, witnessing to a lost and dying world. And Lord, help us to glorify you. Lord, bless this church. Breathe on this church. That this church wouldn't just be a building full of people that claim to be saved, but a building where you meet with us and you change us. And Lord, when we walk out these doors, that people not only see Jesus at Gateway, but people, the people of Gateway, would show the light and love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to give the truth in love without compromise, and to stand strong in your strength in a wicked day, in a wicked and perverse generation. Lord, help us to not compromise. We love you and thank you for everything you do. Bless the service, the prayer service coming up. And Lord, if you allow us another service Wednesday, that you'd bless it, breathe on it. Every time we open this book, give us what we need to get closer to you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.